Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1, 12, 10, and 11. So, before speaking on, or trying to speak on the Bhagavatam, I know I'm fully dependent on the mercy of my diksha and shiksha gurus, because without their mercy I can do nothing. So whatever I say is good. That's the mercy of the gurus, diksha and shiksha gurus. And whatever is not, this of my own pratishtha. I mean, in words, fame, adoration, and distinction. So it's a question. Srinivas knows the answer, and I'm not going to ask him. Why do we take shelter of Lord Caitanya to understand the Bhagavatam? Anybody know? Okay, I'll give it. Because it says in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, only Prabhupada writes, only by bhakti one can understand me. And in the purport he writes, not by scholarly study, reading of the books of the six Goswamis can one understand me. It's only by bhakti one can understand me. And Lord Caitanya, he came as a devotee in the mood of a bhakta. So, and he, and Lord Caitanya, he is the last limit of bhakti. Says Nahari Sakar, he writes, Caitanya bhakti nirpuna krishnastu bhagavam swayam tayo praksya dayikara krishna caitanya uchate. Swayam bhagavan shri krishna appeared as Caitanya, who is bhakti nirpuna, the last limit of bhakti. If the last limit of bhakti is added to Krishna, then he becomes Caitanya. So this is how we understand Bhagavatam. This is why we have to worship Lord Caitanya and, of course, Lord Nityananda to understand Bhagavatam, because Lord Tanya, he's the last limit of bhakti, and that last limit of bhakti is called Prema Bhakti or Braja Bhakti. So to really understand this, we have to take shelter of Lord Caitanya. So, text 10 has no purport, so I'll read the verse, and 11 has the purport. The Lord is thus engaged in vanquishing the radiation of the Brahmastra, just as the sun evaporates a drop of dew. He was observed by the child who fought about who he was. Now, verse 11. While thus being observed by the child, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of everyone, and the protector of the righteous, who stretches in all directions and is unlimited by time and space, disappeared at once. Child Parikshit was not observing a living being who is limited by time and space. There is a gulf of difference between the Lord and the individual living being. The Lord is mentioned herein as the supreme living being, unlimited by time and space. Every living being is limited by time and space, although a living entity is qualitatively one with the Lord. Quantitatively, there is a great difference between the supreme soul and the common individual soul. In the Bhagavad Gita, both the living beings and the supreme being are said to be all-pervading. Yena sarvam idam tatam. Yet there is a difference between these two kinds of all-pervasiveness. A common living being or soul. A common living being or soul can be all-pervading within his own limited body. But the supreme living being is all-pervading in space, all space and all time. The living being cannot extend its influence over another common living being by its own persuasiveness. But the supreme supersoul, the personality of Godhead, is unlimited. Able to exert its influence over all places and all times and all over all living beings. And because he is all pervasive, unlimited by time and space, he can appear within the womb of the mother of the child, Parikshit. He is mentioned herein as the protector of the righteous. Anyone who is a surrendered soul unto the Supreme is righteous, and he is specifically protected by the Lord in all circumstances. The Lord is the indirect protector of all righteous also. I'll repeat that sentence because it's an important sentence. The Lord is the indirect protector of the unrighteous also, for he rectifies their sins through his external potency. The Lord is mentioned herein as one who is dressed in the 10 directions. This means dressed with garments on 10 sides, up and down. He is present everywhere and can appear and disappear at his will, from everywhere and anywhere. His disappearance from the sight of the child, Pariksha, does not mean that he appeared on the spot from any other place. He was present there, and even after his disappearance, he was there, although invisible to the eyes of the child. This material covering of the effulgent firmament is also something like a womb of the mother nature, and we are all put into the womb by the Lord and the Father of all living beings. He is present everywhere, even in this material womb of Mother Durga. And those who are deserving can see the Lord. So, in this purport, I'm just going to basically, something which stands out for me the most, and that is that that Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that anyone who has surrendered soul unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is mentioned here as protector of the righteousness, and anyone who has surrendered soul unto the Supreme Personality is righteous. Now, that is this surrender is Bhagavad Gita has he writes these six symptoms of surrender, Saganagrati. And the two most important ones are that to know one Krishna as one protector and one's maintainer. And the other four, they follow automatically. So one of the, in the songs of Bhagavad Gita Thakur, is the first song. We all know the song. We've read it so long, we've sung it so long, is Gurudev. So we know the song Gurudev. So I'll read the English translation of it. In other words, he's begging. But the first thing we have to do is we have to beg for the drop of mercy. So the four verses, they go in English translation. Gurudev, by the drop of your mercy, make this servant of yours more humble than a blade of grass. Give me the strength to bear all trials and troubles. Free me from all desires of personal honor. O Lord and Master, invest in me the power to properly honor all living beings. Only then will I sing your holy name in great ecstasy and will all my offenses cease. O Lord and Master, when will this devotee be blessed by obtaining your mercy? I am low and fallen and devoid of all strength and intelligence. Please make me your beloved servant. When I examine myself, I see nothing of value. Your mercy is therefore essential to me. If you are not merciful, I will constantly weep, and I will not maintain my life any longer. So this is the first, you could say, the first symptom of a surrendered soul, that he is begging for the mercy of the spiritual master. And just like in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna surrenders to Krishna in the second chapter, please let me be your shishya. I am a soul surrendered unto you. So Arjuna is surrendering to Krishna in the middle of a battlefield. And asking to become his disciple. Before, they were like best buddies. They were playing chess, hunting, riding, eating together. But eventually, Arjuna, he surrenders to Krishna as as his guru, as his spiritual master. So the first in the in this 64 angas of bhakti, the first five actually relate to the spiritual master. And the first, and this is, remember, there's 64 angas of bhakti. So the first five are actually speaking about the spiritual master. Except number one, accepting a bona fide spiritual master. Two, accepting initiation from him. Three, serving him. Four, receiving instructions from him and making inquiries in order to learn devotional service. Five, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas and following the directions given by the spiritual master. So that is the first one, is taking initiation from him. And we know in tattva, there's three fundamental tattvas: sambandha, abhideya, and projan. So the Diksha Guru, he gives sambandha gyan. He gives, sambandha means knowledge of one's relationship with Krishna at initiation, as Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi. But first, before we become Krishna Das, we have to become Guru Das or Guru Nishta. We have to become, firmly take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Because we sing every morning we sing the worship of the spiritual master every morning. So, at 4:30 we attend Mangalati, and Vishnav Chakravati Thakur, who wrote Shishi Guru Astaka, he writes that he says, one with great care, sorry, I'll write what is written in the, I'll repeat what's written in the songbook here. Srila Vishnav Chakravarti Thakur, who appeared in the middle of the 17th century, is a great spiritual master in Krishna consciousness chain of gurus and disciples. He says, one with great care and attention who recites this beautiful prayer to the spiritual master during the Brahma Murta attains direct service to Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, at the time of death. So, I remember some years back when in Mayapur, in one class, one devotee, I think it was Padman Lochim, if anybody can remember him, very advanced devotee, he was explaining that when we sing this song in the morning, Mangalati, we're worshipping our Diksha Guru. And for those who are initiated by Srila Prabhupada, they worship Srila Prabhupada. And those who are initiated by the other respected gurus in ISKCON, they worship their spiritual master. And Mumbai, and then he went through each verse of Sri Guru Astika. And so then the mercy comes through the mercy of the spiritual master. Now, this is one quote from Bhaktisiddhanta Swati Thakur Prabhupada. The spiritual master is the Lord's transcendental temple. The Supreme Lord lives in that temple. And Lord Sri Krishna, who is controlled by his devotees' love, manifests himself in the hearts of the spiritual master and the devotees. Scripture states, Srutam apare smritrim itar bharatam anye bhajantu bhava bhati aham amiha nandam vande yashlamde param brahma. Let others, fearing material existence, worship the Vedas, the Vedic supplementary Puranas, and the Mahabharat. But I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, and whose courtyard is the Supreme Brahman. Brahman is crawling. Many people say that I am eager to see the Supreme Lord, but they do not understand the Lord's darshan is possible simply by taking darshan of the spiritual master. Unless we meet the spiritual master, we cannot meet the Supreme Lord. Devotional service does not begin without first taking shelter of the spiritual master's lotus feet. The spiritual master is certainly a via media between Krishna and the living entity. Lord Krishna sends his best servant, his best associate, to this world to distribute unlimited mercy. The spiritual master is his personification of that mercy. Those who teach us to serve the Lord's deity and to chant the holy names are spiritual masters. It is not enough to serve the spiritual master with awe and reverence only from a distance. We must serve him with strong faith and love. The best sample of this is the intimate service of Srila Raghunath Das, rendered by Srila Swarup Damodar Prabhu. Anamatra Vabani. And so then we can... So then we can see from that the spiritual master, without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot get Krishna. And without the mercy of Krishna, one cannot get the spiritual master. Just the example is given in the Bhagavatam with Dhruva Maharaj. Now, Dhruva Maharaj, we all know he went to the forest to get a kingdom bigger than his grandfather. And yet, because of his, because of his chastisement from his stepmother, he went to his mother and she said that Narayana. If you want to, you have to go to the forest and seek Narayana. So he went to the forest, but he went on his own independent whims. And he was doing all sorts of austerities. They were scorching the universe. And then the demigods were disturbed. And then Lord Narayana noticed it. He asked Narada Muni, "Who is this boy causing disturbances?" He said, "Oh, his name's Narayana, Dhruva." He said, "Has he got a guru, a spiritual master?" He says, "No." So therefore, Narada went down as his guru and instructed. And the first thing he did was test him. He says, "You're only a young boy. We know what you want. You want to sit on the throne of your father. But your stepmother says, only if you're born from my womb can you do this. But, you know, young boy, you should be playing. But if you want to sit at the throne of your father, we will go back to the palace together. And because they will recognize who I am, there'll be no problem." And he says, "No. I want Narayana. I want Narayana. Just give me Narayana. If you can't give me Narayana, get out of here." So this is why actually Dhruva actually means determined. So we have to be determined like Dhruva to get Narayana. And then after he passed the test, then he gave him the mantra, the sadhana, and then described the appearance of Narayana. And after 6 months, Narayana appeared to him. And then he, looking him from his toe up to the tip of his head, he said, "This is exactly what my guru Narada Muni described him." So similarly, we have to be determined like Dhruva to get Krishna. But we can only do it through the spiritual master. Because without the mercy of the spiritual master, we cannot achieve anything. For me, the spiritual master is the most important person in my life. And why? Because to get out of this material world, we have to follow the instructions of Krishna's representative. And to get out of this material world, the spiritual master is the person who will take us out. As we're singing every morning, Samsara Dava Diva Loka. And through the other verses, he's taking us out of this material world. But we have to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. This means discipline. It means whatever he says, you know, privately or openly, we have to follow. This includes the 10 offenses to the holy name. So when we chant Hare Krishna in the morning, chanting our japa, we have to understand what we're asking. We're asking, "O Radha Krishna, please engage me in your devotional service." So therefore, we have to understand this is nam aparad. Now, nam aparad. No, we have to examine this word aparad. That actually is two verbs or nouns. What is that? It means apa, means against. And then the next word is radha, aparadha. So these 10 offences against the holy name is actually 10 offences against Srimati Radharani. Now, recently I was in Bali and I was speaking to one disciple Govinda Maharaj. His name was Sadashiva Das. And he was telling a story, a recent story within the 20 years. There was one devotee staying in Vrindavan, and he had very, very strong bhajan. He was chanting more than 64 rounds a day. And sometimes this desire to leave Vrindavan and go to South India and take darshan and worship Lakshmi Narayan would occur in his heart. And then one day, a group of devotees from the Sri Sampradaya came to Vrindavan, and he saw them and inquired, "Can I accompany you to South India?" So then he went to South India, and he worshipped Lakshmi Narayan in the mood of Vaikuntha, in the mood of all reverence. And then when he came back to Vrindavan, his bhajan, he couldn't do his bhajan as before. It decreased. And then the Brijbasis, they wouldn't speak to him. They would not. And then one day he spoke to one of them he knew very, very well. He inquired from this Brijbasi. He said, "What is happening? Why is this? No, my bhajan's decreased. Everything is decreased." He said, "Because you've made an offence. You have broken the 10th offence, not having full faith." In full faith in chanting holy name and maintaining material attachments, you have made an offence to Srimati Radharani. Because those who chant the names of Radharani, Krishna comes running to them. But those who make offence to them, offence to Srimati Radharani, who don't have full faith in her, Krishna runs away from that person. So you have made the 10 offence against the holy name. This is why your bhajan has decreased. And then after that, no one knows what's happened to that devotee. So from that we can learn that what these 10 offences, we should not be, we should avoid completely, and then we will please Krishna. Because, as I said, when we chant the Maha Mantra, we're chanting the name of Radharani and Krishna. Because we're chanting the name Hara. Oh Hara, please, and Krishna, please engage me in devotional service. So if we wonder why our chanting, you know, is, say, not up to as Ayendra used to say, if it's full of snig snig and ram rams, then we know if we're not pronouncing the holy names while we're chanting, and it's full of snig snig rams rams. He used to say this a lot. When I went to Vrindavan, I used to attend his classes, and he used to say this a lot, Ayendra Prabhu, and our snig snig ram rams. So therefore we should be avoiding these 10 offenses against the holy name, and come to the platform of Namabhas, and then Sudanam. So Namabhas, Nabhagna Thakur, he says, those who are chanting Namabhas said they're Vaishnava Bhas. Bhas, the word Abhas means resemblance of a devotee. Not, and then he adds, Bhagavan Thakur adds, those who are chanting Sudanam, they are devotee. But if we do come to the level of Namabhas, we will at least go to Vaikuntha, at least, just like Arjamil did. Because Arjamil was on level of Namabhas. And so Namabhas is described as, let's say you got a jar of, a container full of, let's say, something's got a pungent smell, very, very bad smell. Let's say, for instance, black salt. We know those who know black salt, it's got a very pungent smell, isn't it? So you may finish the container, you may finish it, and you may wash the bottle or the container to use it again, but the smell is still in the bottle. So that's like Namabhas. Your offences may have ceased, but the smell is still there. So that's what the example I was given of Namabhas. So then from Namabhas, we can, by the mercy of the spiritual master, come to Sudanam and chant the holy name purely. And then we get the mercy of the spiritual master. Because the mercy of the spiritual master is very important in the life of a devotee. And whatever how the spiritual master may say or how he acts is for our eternal benefit. Sometimes he may chastise us, sometimes he may give us a little pat on the back. He may not smile sometimes. He may smile, but we have to be indifferent to all those, because he can see in our hearts what is there. And so the mercy of spiritual master is very important. And Narottam Das Thakur, he gives a very good example in one of his songs, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Pada Pada, where he's worshipping Narottam Das Thakur, he's worshipping the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Manjari, who is, of course, you know, in Krishna Leela, Rupa Goswami. So therefore, Narottam Das Thakur is showing us that we should worship the lotus feet of our spiritual master, because in that song he says, the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari is my real wealth, is my japa, is my austerities, are my wealth. So the lotus feet of the spiritual master are everything to us. So without his mercy, we can do nothing and make no progress. And by his mercy, we can advance very quickly. So I'll stop there. And if anybody's got anything to say or corrections or questions, I will try to answer.